heaven for the world. And the Bible says this light affliction, which is but for a moment, so it refers to life on this earth, the full span of a life as but for a moment. That's quite a thing concerned or compared to from everlasting to everlasting, to eternity. Amen. Temporal decisions have eternal ramifications. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you give me wisdom tonight. Lord, teach your word. Our Father, tonight this book is unfolding for us, Lord, like it never has before. So many things are happening so quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Amen. Well, it's good to have all of you with us tonight. Amen. And we're glad you're here. Just think of all the places you could be. And think about it. Here you are in a nice, comfortable building. Nobody's shooting at you. You're not having to, you don't have a flood coming down on you, a hurricane, tornado bearing down on you. And so we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. Remember those tonight who are in harm's way. Always remember them. Always remember those on the field who are serving our country, are being shot at, and their life is in jeopardy, especially those on the front lines in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and whatever other front line may develop soon, depending on what happens between Israel and Iran. I'd like you to turn with me in the Bible tonight to the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 2 Thessalonians 2 and then 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of New Testament survey to help put it together. Chronologies always help me understand a thing. In other words, when did this happen? Let's get it lined up. What happens next? Well, this happened because that happened. Things like that help you understand the Scriptures. And that's what's called a panoramic view of what you're dealing with. And I like panoramic views. I like to get a full picture of what I'm dealing with, not just a little small clip from what's directly in front of me, but I want what's going on out here, you know, what's happening, what's in front of me, so I can make a better decision. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians to the church at Thessalonica, he probably wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians first in all the books the Apostle wrote. Can't prove it. Nobody can prove when any of the books were written. We can generally get close, but the book of 1 Thessalonians was probably one of the first books, if not the first, that he wrote. And the burden of the Apostle Paul was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing he wanted to get out to the people. So here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, what is that? What's our gathering together unto him? If you'll notice, the coming of the Lord and the gathering together unto him comprise one event here, but it's not necessarily one event everywhere, because the Lord's coming is broken down into stages. The second coming of Jesus Christ is not simply one event. It's a series of events, starting with the gathering together unto him, which is the catching up of his church. But it's consummated when he comes with his church in power and great glory. Revelation 19, on a white horse, as King of kings and Lord of lords. That consummates the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." All the new Bibles translate that the day of the Lord. And the reason they do is because their text, the Greek text that it's translated from, has the word kurios. And the word kurios is translated Lord. The King James Bible and the Masoretic text, or the received text, or the majority text, has the word Christos. And Christos means Christ, or translated Christ. Kurios is Lord. So the day of the Lord and the day of Christ are entirely two different things. Now let's read it the way the New Bibles read it. That the day of the Lord is at hand. Now if I put that in this text, and this is very important to understand it this way tonight. If I put that in this text, that would lead me to believe that the church doesn't really have to worry about the appearance of the Antichrist or even the events that are so closely related to the tribulation period, that somehow or another we're just going to escape everything and just get caught out. See? So there's nothing to worry about. But according to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, that's not what it says. It says that we ought to be on the lookout for the man of sin. Well, if we are on the lookout for the man of sin, therefore we are certainly going to see the signs of the coming tribulation period, right? It only makes sense. If you're going to see the man of sin, the Antichrist, then you certainly are going to see the signs that attend the Antichrist, and when he appears, you're going to see them. So we should be looking for the signs of the coming tribulation period. Now here's the thing to understand about the coming tribulation period. It's not something that just falls out of heaven. It's not something that just blossoms overnight. It is something that has been prepared for a long time. A lot has gone into preparation for the tribulation period. I want to tell you something tonight. You may be surprised to hear me say this, but the green movement is certainly one of the areas that the Antichrist is going to use to prepare the world for the tribulation period. How so, preacher? Because the green movement gives power into a centralized authority through the UN that will exercise sovereignty over all the nations of the world. You hear a lot today from people about your carbon footprint. They're even telling you that the breath you breathe out has carbon. We've known this all of our life, that it has carbon, what is it, monoxide? Has carbon monoxide, and a plant takes it and metabolizes it and turns out, what is it that we breathe? Most of them do. Some folks breathe a lot worse, amen? But in any event, that's your carbon footprint. So what they're doing is establishing standards based upon something that is a non-reality. There's over 700 scientists right now in the world that are itching to have a legitimate dialogue with these people who are trying to ram this green thing down your throat. And they won't listen to them. Why won't they listen to them? Because there is an agenda behind the green movement. What's the agenda? I just told you. The agenda is to put in a centralized power the authority to take the sovereignty of the nations of the world away from them and control the electricity you turn on, the gas you burn, everything that has to do with the daily workings of life, the energy that you consume, all these things, and the laws that control them. So this is one area right here, you can see it plainly, where the Antichrist is preparing this world for a one world government. Now here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now wait a minute. Look what he said in 2 Thessalonians 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2 he said that day, verse 2, that the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first man and sin be revealed, son of perdition. Is that as a thief in the night? No. You see, as a thief in the night is reference to the day of the Lord, that all of a sudden, when the church is gone, the whole world wakes up one morning and they have to take a mark. The whole world wakes up one morning and the world now is under one government and they are its subject. That comes as a thief in the night. Does the Bible say in the days of Noah they did not know till the flood came and took them all away? Exactly. But notice what the apostle says about the church in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 1. He said, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness. The day should overtake you as a thief. You're children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. So the Bible commands you to watch. Look for the signs of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the book is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the books of the gospel. They're called the gospels. And the gospel means the good news. They are essentially the evangelists. Each one of them are evangelists. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John giving the account of Christ's life. Not a full account, but complementary accounts. They give you a picture that the Holy Spirit wants you to have of the life of Christ. Did they record everything that he did? Well, John tells you they didn't record everything he did. Said the world couldn't hold the books of all the things that he did. But they give you what the Holy Spirit wants you to have. The book of Acts is the early New Testament history of the church as it began to transform from a Jewish mindset into a church mindset. They had to deal with issues. They had to deal with people who wanted to bring circumcision, wanted to keep the law of Moses and other things to add them to the gospel. They got it settled in Jerusalem. But God raised up one man who was at first a persecutor of the church, and God saved him. He was Saul of Tarsus. Then he saved him. He became Paul the Apostle. He used that one man to write the biggest majority of the New Testament. The biggest majority of the New Testament does not necessarily deal with the life of Christ, because you have that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the biggest majority of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul began to lay out the doctrine of the life of Christ and the doctrine of the cross and the doctrine of the blood atonement and the doctrines that we hold sacred today. It was the Apostle Paul who laid them all out. See, he laid them out. He told you what they meant. He explained the cross. He told you what God was doing in Christ when he went to the cross and he died. That was the work of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul became a martyr for Christ, we believe. We believe he gave his life for the Lord Jesus. He said, I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. We believe he did. The Bible does not say he did, but we believe he did. We can tell by the last chapter of the book of Acts that he'd been locked up in his own hired house in Rome because he was a Roman citizen. Exactly how the Apostle Paul died, we do not know. But we believe that he was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the last book of the Bible was written by one of the original 12. And his name is John the Apostle. God gave him a vision on the Isle of Patmos of the future time we call the tribulation period. Most of the book of Revelation takes up with simply a 7-year period of time. Most of the book of Revelation. It's talking about the tribulation, the great tribulation that is coming. But what God revealed to the Apostle Paul, and this is what's so important, he gave him the mysteries. He revealed mysteries to him about the coming of the Lord for his bride, to catch up his bride, to meet him in the clouds. That's a mystery. And the mystery is what we call the rapture. And so the mystery was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It is no mystery about the day of the Lord. The Antichrist was no mystery. He's all over the Old Testament. Just like I taught in Sunday school this past Sunday morning, Solomon had 666 talents of gold brought to him in 1 year. And it's a perfect indication there that Solomon had become a type of the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, one man says, and I don't know that I want to disagree with him, he says there are 18 types to the Antichrist in the Old Testament. That's 3 times 6. 3 times 6 is 18. And he names all of them. And it's pretty good study when you want to get in there and study that. But the bottom line is this. The Antichrist is no mystery. The day of the Lord is no mystery. But the day of Christ is. Because the day of Christ has to do with the body of Christ. And the body of Christ was a mystery till God finished it. Jew and Gentile, one and the same body. It would not be Jews ruling the world. It would be the church made up of Jews and Gentiles that make his body. That's the mystery. And that's what we're part of today. We're part of that mystery. So now we are looking for that mysterious event when he comes and catches the bride up to meet him. We should be looking for the formation of a one-world government. You're seeing it happen right now, and it seems to me like in the last few weeks, it's got on the fast track. As a matter of fact, some of you, if you keep up with the news, you've heard some things said just in the last few days that ought to make the hair on the back of your head and your neck stand up. Do you remember back when they bombed the World Trade Towers up in New York? Do you remember the attitude of the nation at that time? Do you remember all the flags that everybody flew on their cars? Everywhere you looked, somebody had an American flag. Patriotism was in. Get them. Find out who did this. Let's get them. Bomb them. Do whatever you need to do. That was the attitude of the nation. And so they went out and they rounded up a bunch of terrorists and they declared war on terrorism. Well, now that war is a war that's going to have to be fought for a long time because the world's full of terrorists. We've got plenty of enemies. Make no mistake about that. But during that period of time, they gathered them up and they went down to Cuba. There's a place down there called Guantanamo Bay. Gitmo is a short term for it. And they built a detention center. And they put these terrorists under interrogation to find out what they intended to do. This is pretty harsh work down there. But the bottom line is that for 8 years, while George Bush was the president of this country, we didn't have any terrorist attacks. Whether he can take credit for all of that or not, I don't know. But I do know this. I do know just recently now, in the last few days, that the present administration is looking into prosecuting some of the people who were ordered by the president to do their job. And that's what they did. They did their job. Now, that may, on the surface of it, may not sound like it's such a big deal, but it's really a big deal. Let me tell you why it's a big deal. Because the security of this nation rests completely upon intelligence gathering. That's why the CIA, the FBI, and all the rest of them have to be able to do their job. They have stopped a lot of terrorist activity, all right? They've got to be able to do their job. But if you take that away from a nation and take the ability for them to do their job away from a nation, then what you're doing is making that nation vulnerable. So why would you want to make a nation vulnerable? Why would you want to cause a whole nation to become vulnerable? This man in the White House is no man's fool. He's one of the smartest men probably that's ever sat in that chair. He's no fool. So what's going on here? What are we doing to the very infrastructure of our country when it comes to security? Something's going on that doesn't make sense, doesn't fit. There's something happening. I want to give you just a little bit that was handed out to me the other day on the email. I got this from a young lady named Ginger Hatfield. How many of you know Ginger Hatfield? She's a little girl sitting right over there, came from Virginia. One of the smartest little girls I've met in a long time. Fact is, I won't tell you all that she's involved with tonight, but she knows more than most people and has access to more than most people. She sent me an email. Here's what she said. Dear friends, I want to write and inform you of two government papers I found out about this week. The first, you undoubtedly heard it, was Department of Homeland Security report on the danger of right-wing extremism in the U.S. The normal definition of right-wing extremism usually deals with neo-Nazis, skinheads, and the hellish murderers like Timothy McVeigh. However, in the recent DHS memo, the definition of right-wing extremism has widened to potentially include, among other things, disgruntled military veterans, those who oppose the New World Order, those who fear a one-world government, those who are upset over government inaction on the illegal immigration issue, those who oppose tighter gun laws and the loss of the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Now, back when they had the World Trade Tower blow up by these murderers from wherever they came from, they created the Office of Homeland Security. I remember when it happened. And they created the Office of Homeland Security so that we could protect ourselves from the enemy without, from the terrorist who wants to come in and kill us and blow up our buildings and blow up our bridges and kill us. Now we have an administration that has taken that office, and instead of pointing it to the terrorist without, they're pointed it toward the citizen within. And they begin to lay out a list of definitions of what makes a potential enemy of the state. And included in that list, right at the top, are all these tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of veterans. Folks, you wouldn't have any freedom if it wasn't for the veterans. How many veterans we got in here? You're on the list. So I can do anything. You don't have to do anything. What's happening is that the whole structure of our society has been changing. It's being changed before your very eyes. And the definition of terrorism has changed. They're no longer called terrorists over there. There's some Mickey Mouse name they gave them. And terrorism now is focused upon the people in this country. When an office was created to deal with people out there, now it's dealing with people in here. Are you awake yet? Let me tell you something. A Christian is a hard person, a born-again believer, one who has really been born again, is a hard person to make a slave out of. You know why? Because you have one master, one Lord, and one God. That's a hard person to make a slave out of. They've been trying for 50 years to tear up your Bible, tear down your faith, destroy everything you believe in. Public school system been mocking, making fun of everything that you are. And for all these years, they've been trying their best to do away with Christ and His church. They're never going to do that. They're never going to do that. There's an awful lot of them out there that call themselves Christians that aren't. You and I both know that. But they're not going to do away with His church. What they don't realize is that there's a potential pool of martyrs in this country that run into the hundreds of thousands, and they don't want a bloodbath like that. Because that may be what happens if they try to force the issue. See, this young lady sent me this email. She said another piece of legislation, House Bill H.R. 45, called Blair-Holt's Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2009. If passed, it would become law that all who purchase a gun must fill out an application to get a license to carry a firearm, like a concealed carry permit. In other words, just to buy a gun, you get photographed, fingerprinted, you get on a database. Among other things, the applicant require your photograph, thumbprint, personal information, proof that you've taken a written certification test proving, among other things, that you're knowledgeable on gun safety as well as on any other subjects, as the Attorney General determines to be appropriate. You'd be required in your application to authorize the release of any of your mental-related medical records. The firearm license would look much like a driver's license, expiring 5 years. You'd be required to tell the government every time you change address and also notify them of any theft, loss, or sale of your firearm. Now, you ask any police officer, they don't worry about law-abiding citizens. It's the criminal. And the criminal never did abide by the laws, and you make all the laws you want to make, and he's not going to abide by them. So what's the point? What's the purpose? Is the purpose to disarm the people? Could it be that they want to disarm you? Could it be that the Second Amendment had to do with the fact that the Founding Fathers knew that as long as the people had weapons, that if they had to, they could rise up and throw off the yoke of a dictatorial government? I pray it never happened, but could it be that that's what they had in mind? Could it be the Founding Fathers a lot smarter than you give them credit for? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be take 911 for example. I was a kid, they didn't have 911. Didn't have such a thing. You call the police. All right, you call the police. All right, now they have 911. You say, well, that 911 is good. Yeah? To a point. You say, what do you mean? Well, what if you could get sued if you didn't call 911? Or what if they passed a law where if you didn't call 911 that you broke a law? What if anything that happened around your house, if you didn't comply with 911, you could get in trouble? What in the beginning had seemed to be so benign and for your use could be turned around and used against you? That's what's called freedoms, folks. And your freedoms are taken away from you piecemeal. And let me say this again to you tonight. The government does not give you your freedom. God gives you your freedom. And God allows governments for civil society and civil governing. All right? They're the minister of God, the apostle said in the book of Romans 12. Minister how? Minister in the sense of government. All right? Where you have to have civil government. It's taken away from you. We've got a society that's been brainwashed to the point that anything that comes from the government, and folks, don't you know that the government changes every 4 years? And one government doesn't agree with another government? Doesn't that bother you? I mean, if the government is infallible and everything the government says is okay, then after 4 years another government comes in and contradicts everything the government before them said, where's your brain? The bottom line is the only absolute truth comes from above, from this book you've got before you. And the Bible says to watch for these things. Look out for them. I know it's unsettling, and I know it's not the kind of thing that makes people feel good, but it's the kind of thing we need. Like the hate crime laws. They're trying their best to run them through again now. If you say anything about certain people who are protected by hate crimes, and this of course is something they determine year after year, you say something about them, you can be charged with a hate crime by simply saying something. What happens to freedom of speech then? First Amendment to the Constitution. Freedom of speech. Second Amendment to the Constitution. Right to bear arms. Think about it for a moment. First Amendment, you can speak. Second Amendment, you can defend yourself. Think about it. One, two. First one, second one. Then on down the line it goes. Isn't that an amazing thing? You realize how wonderful a country you had? Do you realize what a precious nation was handed to you? Do you realize what a precious thing that flag right there stood for? That your grandfathers died for on the battlefield and handed you a nation like this? Don't you realize what we've got? Isn't it an amazing thing? This is why the veterans got so mad. The veterans are the ones who went out into the field and fought, bled, and died. See? They paid the price. How many young men have you seen with their legs blown off or sitting in wheelchairs? And they were blown off in Iraq or Afghanistan. They paid the price so you could be free. That flag right there stands for freedom, but freedom's not cheap. World War II, folks, millions of people died fighting for this country and fighting for freedom. And yet all of a sudden, in the last 20, 30 years, we have all this liberal ideas come along and start taking away from you what makes you an American. Piecemeal, piecemeal. There never has been a nation on the face of the earth that let people stand up and preach the gospel like this country has. Never has been. Never existed. Never even came close to existing. Nowhere near. Australia and Canada are relatively free countries, but they don't have the freedoms you've got. And they're being taken away from you. Taken from you. God's a long-suffering God and a gracious God. I'm in a strait betwixt two tonight. With my love for my country and my knowledge of the Bible, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'd like to see America saved. I'd like to see America saved and to go through the tribulation period into the millennium. I'd like to see that flag flying in the millennium. I'd like to see it fly for 1,000 years. You ever heard a preacher say anything like that before? And it could. It could. Old Glory could fly for 1,000 years. Well, we're a young nation. But if that flag right there stands for freedom and supports the gospel, and supports that little fledgling nation, Israel, over there. He said, if you'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he that blesses you, he said, I'll bless. He that curses you, I'll curse. That's what God said. And we have a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. You can make a choice. Your choice is that either you support the truth and stand for the truth, or you throw up your hands and say there's no need and forget it. Amen? Why do I have the right to get up before you tonight and preach the gospel? And if I preached a message from the book of Leviticus about sodomy, I still have a right to preach the Bible. Okay? Because it was bought and paid for by blood. And they knew where it came from. They knew it came from God. And when they went to the battlefield, they went to the battlefield knowing God was on their side. Yeah, they did. And you know something? God was on their side. Yeah, he was. He was on their side. God has a reason for America. I believe one of the greatest reasons he had for America is the fact that we supported Israel. We were there for her when she came into being again after 2,000 years practically. God's blessed America. He blessed America because America preached the gospel. He blessed America because America sent out more missionaries to the ends of the earth than any nation on the face of the earth has ever even thought about sending. This nation has missionaries all over the world, folks. Still does. Young men, young women still rise up to go out and carry the Word of God. Amen. When was the last time you had a missionary from North Korea come knock on your door? That's the truth. I mean, this country still does. Here's what I'm trying to say. America was so great at one time that even today, after so many of our liberties are fading away, you can still see and sense the greatness of what this nation had once been. And this nation can be again. How would you like to see that? I'm not going to kick the flag down the tubes. I'm not going to jump up and down on that flag and burn it. No, I put 4 years in the military saluting that flag, serving that flag. There's an awful lot of them up there in the government right now that don't have a clue what it is to be in the military. Maybe that had something to do with their little memo that they sent out across the country from the Homeland Security where they were condemning veterans. Maybe the veterans said to themselves, you know something? I might be able to take this a little better if the fellow that sent this to me was a veteran. That was the problem we had about 20 years ago when the draft dodger got in there. He had a problem with the military too. Military folks don't take too well to that. You know that? They don't. They have a hard time with that. The old boys that go over there and bleed and die, and the women that go over there and suffer and fight, they have a hard time dealing with that kind of thing. And then when you come out and pass a memo out like that around the nation saying, well, you know, you better look out for them. These are right-wing extremists. Veterans? Whatever happened to the freedoms of speech? Okay? If the Lord comes back and catches His bride up, that's us. He may catch us at any moment. It could happen in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. What you leave behind, the rest of them here are going to hear. These messages I'm preaching right now, what I'm preaching right now, this goes onto a tape. It goes onto a CD. It goes onto a videotape. Somebody 5 years from now may get that and watch it. They may realize when they watch this, that old boy loved his country, didn't he? But he loved the Lord too. He didn't want to see America go down the tubes. He wanted to see America go into the millennium. He wanted to see the stars and stripes wave for 1,000 years. I do. Now, if the Union Jack makes it, fine. And if the Maple Leaf makes it, fine. And what's Australia? They've got a part of a Union Jack and something else down there. That's all fine. They've been our friends in war. But I'm not an Australian. I'm not a Canadian. I'm not a Brit. I'm an American. This is the land of my nativity. Make your mark, folks. Time's short. The point of my message tonight is this. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't go to sleep. Things are going to happen so quickly now, it's going to blow your mind. Like you're getting a rocket ship. Buckle up. You're about ready to get blasted off. It's going to come. It's happening. And it's happening quickly. Today, this morning, the head, the chief financial officer for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, one of the two, Fannie Mae, committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? Isn't that something? That's such a 41 years old. Isn't that a sad thing? Why did he commit suicide? Did he find something? Or did something find him? What happened to him? Did he unearth some corruption? What's going on? Why is it only certain people are getting all the billions? And you're paying the bill. They're at work. Get on your knees and start praying and stay alert. And if you need to do something, I'll do my best. To everything that I get up here and give you, I'll authenticate it. I'll document it. I'll try my best not to give you false information. But my responsibility as the pastor of this church is to keep you informed. It won't do us any good to stick our head in the sand. We're living in very dangerous times. Things can change so quickly. Therefore, you remember what the Minuteman was? What was a Minuteman? You remember them? I was taught that in school. Anybody tell me what a Minuteman was? At a what? Uh-huh. He'd be ready to defend, bear arms. He's a patriot. At a minute's notice, in plain words, be prepared. Be prepared. That's a minute man. In other words, you watch. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't let that day overtake you as a thief. You're not as the darkness. You're not. As long as the world gets prosperity and they get what they want, they're happy. They don't care who's running the show. But you're not. You're watching. So keep watching. Because it's coming. Let me give you a name and I'll shut up tonight. B-E-R-I-T, Barrett, K-J-O-S. Kios is the way she pronounces her name, I think. And she is a, what is she, Miss Moreland? I know, but what's her nationality? Swedish. I think so. That's what I said the other day. She's Swedish. You say, well, what do they know? You ever drive Volvo? Huh? Saab? Two of the finest cars you can buy. They know a whole lot more. A lot of times Europeans know a whole lot more than we do. And she's a good Christian lady, and she's got a good website. And if you can't find her name by her name, or forget her name, just type in crossroads.com, and it'll take you to her website. And it'll blow your mind at what's going on with the UN and all of these international treaties. And the stuff that's happening, and happening right now, is because of international treaties. What does that say to you? One world government. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you're warning us. You're showing us. Our Father, tonight, if we don't take that warning and don't heed to it, it's our own ignorance and stupidity and rebellion. Father, use what I've said tonight to help folks. Wake them up. God, wake them up. Wake them up. And prepare us. And our Heavenly Father, we need to come together. We need to come together and pray together. We need to come together and do what we can to help others and show them and tell the truth and get the truth out and get the word out. And we pray in Jesus' name now. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. And amen. Amen.